Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. He has called us to rejoice and to be glad in it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I am so excited about what the Lord is doing, how he continues to just confirm the word that he gives to us. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord for all that are joining on this morning and all that will listen to the playback. Praise God. The Lord continues to remind us about overflow, and that October is a month of overflow. And so it is so fitting that today we're shifting into rebuilding the altar of giving. Amen. Hallelujah. So I just want to just cover the line in prayer, just move forward. Amen. And then I will close in prayer on today. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, just come to you right now in the precious mighty name of Jesus. Father, blessing you, magnifying you, lifting you up, Lord God, for truly you are great and greatly to be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Your name, mighty God, is to be praised. Hallelujah. And I just extol you, Lord God. I extol you. I honor you. Hallelujah. For who you are. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am. And it is in you, O God, that we live and move and have our very being. Father, I do thank and praise you, Lord, for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you, Father, that when we do confess our sin to you, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We thank you for Jesus the Christ, who is our advocate. And because of his sacrifice on the cross, shedding his blood, we now can come boldly to your throne of grace, obtain grace and mercy in times of need. And so thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Lord has drawn me to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, and I just kind of want to walk through this and just see how far we're going to go on today. He's really given me some things about giving. And in reference to the giving, he wants there to be such a release for the people of God concerning the overflow. However, picking up on last month with the flow of sacrifice and the flow of giving, the Lord wants us to remember that every sacrifice that we make does not go unnoticed. It does not go unnoticed, whether we are giving of ourselves, of our time, of our talents, of our treasure, that God honors it and he recognizes it and he is going to reward you as a result of it. And so I praise God that this is the month of overflow and that you will continue to receive the increase that God has ordained for you to receive. Amen. Praise God. But I want to just look at 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. Now Satan stood up against Israel, and I'm just going to read the whole portion here, so bear with me. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, "Go, number Israel from Beersheba to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it." And Joab answered, "May the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are." Please mute your line. Please mute your line. Thank you. "But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then does my lord require this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt in Israel?" Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Therefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Then Joab gave the sum of the number of the people to David. All Israel had 1,100,000 men who drew the sword, and Judah had 470,000 men who drew the sword, but he did not count Levi and Benjamin among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. Verse 7, "And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he struck Israel. So David said to God, 'I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now, I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly.'" So we see even here when David realized his sin, that he took responsibility. He admitted he was wrong, and he asked God to forgive him. Sometimes many people want to add God and the benefits of Christianity to their lives without even acknowledging their personal sin and guilt. But confession and repentance must come before receiving forgiveness. We must take full responsibility for our actions, and we must confess them to God before we can expect him to forgive us and continue his work in us and through us. So verse 9, "Then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, 'Go and tell David, saying, Thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you.' So Gad came to David and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else for 3 days the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me.'" Now, I thought this was really interesting how the Lord gave the lesser of the three, but for a long period of time. And then he shortened it and gave a more severe consequence, but less amount of time. And then he ended it with the most severe, the sword of the Lord, throughout the land, but for a short period of time. And I think that that's really interesting when we're looking at consequences here, and we're looking at how the Lord gives us, well, he gave David a choice in reference to the consequence. So even when we sin and we experience consequence from God, we understand that he is in control of that consequence, that he's in control of the timing of it. He's in control of the extent of it. And so I love it that David then, he pleads to God and he asks him for mercy, because sin has a domino effect. God will forgive our sin if we ask him, but the consequences of that sin have already been set in motion. And so verse 13, and David said to God, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man, my God. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. As he was destroying, the Lord looked and relented of the disaster and said to the angel who was destroyed, it is enough. Now restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Then David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven, having in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. So David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell on their faces. And David said to God, what was it not I who commanded the people to be numbered? I am the one who has sinned and done evil indeed, but these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, O Lord my God, be against me and my father's house, but not against your people, that they should be plagued. Therefore, the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So David went up at the word of Gad, which he had spoken in the name of the Lord. Now Ornan turned and saw the angel, and his four sons who were with him hid themselves. But Ornan continued threshing wheat. So David came to Ornan, and Ornan looked and saw David, and he went out from the threshing floor and bowed before David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar on it to the Lord. And we're not going to get into the threshing floor piece right here, perhaps at another time. You shall grant it to me at the full price, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. But Ornan said to David, take it to yourself, and let my lord the king do what is good in his sight. Look, I also give you the oxen for burnt offerings, the threshing implements for wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I give it all. Then King David said to Ornan, no, but I will surely buy it for the full price, for I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings with that which cost me nothing. So David gave Ornan 600 shekels of gold by weight for the place, and David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called on the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire on the altar of burnt offering. So the Lord commanded the angel, and he returned his sword to its sheath. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, he sacrificed there. For the tabernacle of the Lord and the altar of the burnt offering, which Moses had made in the wilderness, were at that time at the high place in Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid of the sword of the angel of the Lord. And really just the emphasis here in reference to two dynamics, that here Ornan has this threshing floor and he's willing to give it to the king. He's willing to just give him the threshing floor. He's willing to give him the oxen for the burnt offering. He's willing to give him the wood, the wheat, the grain offering. He's willing to give everything to David in order for King David to be able to make peace with God and to be able to be cleansed of the consequences of his foolish numbering of the people of God. But then on the other hand, we do see David who is willing to pay He's willing to pay the full cost, the price of what he is willing to give to God for that peace offering. And even on this day, as we're talking about giving and we're talking about the offering, God is looking, I tell you, he's looking for that sacrificial offering. He is willing. He wants us to be willing to give to him for our repentance, for our confession, for our wrongdoing, to make things right. He's wanting us to give to him that sacrificial, that thing that will cost us something, that it will cost us something. Our salvation cost him something. And so because we value and we honor God, because we are grateful for his sacrifice and his sacrifices that he's given unto us, things that we didn't even deserve, things that we didn't even pay for, but he freely gives us. First Peter says that he has already given unto us everything that pertains to life and godliness. God has already given us everything that we need to be able to live a life that pleases him. And so when it comes to giving, God has given us new life. And he says, present yourselves to me a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. It's our reasonable act of worship. We must give ourselves completely, wholeheartedly, unreservedly to God. And when we give of ourselves fully to God, then everything that he has given unto us and everything that we have, we should freely, generously, willingly, unreservedly give it back to him. We must give it back to him. Hallelujah. He said that an offering, it should cost the giver, it should cost us something in terms of self, time, or money. To give sacrificially requires more than a token effort or gift. God wants us to give voluntarily, but he wants it to mean something. He wants it to mean something. Many times when we give, we give out of compulsion, or we give out of pressure, we give out of guilt. But when we give unto God voluntarily, when it means something, God breathes even the more on it. He allows and releases the fire of God upon it. And then that too becomes, just like prayer, a sweet fragrance in his nostrils. Giving to God what costs you nothing does not demonstrate commitment. It doesn't demonstrate commitment. We must give to God first. The principle of sowing and reaping is seen throughout Scripture. If you give generously, it is like sowing seeds, and it produces God's blessing. You reap God's increase. Getting ahead by giving really doesn't sound right, but God says that if you do it, he will bless you. In fact, God says that he will prove to you that giving works. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 9, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. And a lot of people say, well, this was for the children of Israel, and yes, it was, and that tithing doesn't count today. Yes, it does. It still counts today, because the tithe was given even before we see the reference of it in Scripture with Abraham. We understand that even in Levi, that the tithes were given even before Levi was in the earth. And we understand the blessings and the principles of bringing that tenth to God. God says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. If you do, says the Lord God Almighty, if you bring the tithes and offerings into the storehouse, this is what he says, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Let me prove it to you. Try God. Try the Lord. And we're not going to talk about the 90%, what we do with the 90%. We have to just first deal with the 10%. If we do not have the 10% in order, my God, then even the 90% is going to be a challenge. But God is saying, try me. Let me prove it to you. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and if I will not pour out a blessing so great, so large, so massive, that you will not have enough room to take it in. My God, we're talking about overflow. We want the overflow. But are we willing to do everything that God commands us to do? Everything that God shows us we need to do in order to have that open heaven over our lives, in our family, in our communities, in our churches, in our ministries. Are we willing to try God? Are we willing to prove or allow Him to prove it to us by being willing and obedient? He said, not only will I open the windows of heaven for you and pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in, he said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Look at this. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord. So see, a lot of times we don't recognize it, but when we don't tithe, the devourer comes. Something starts to break down. Something starts to pull on your money. Something starts to just take over. Proverbs even talks about, you know, having pockets with holes in them, having pockets with holes in them, or things just slipping right out of your hand. You get it, you grasp it, and then it just slips out of your hand, and you're looking around like, what happened? What happened? Where did all the money go? That's how you can recognize that finances and giving needs to be realigned with God. Or we're laboring and we see the fruit of our labor and then it's gone. And then it's gone. Giving freely and spontaneously is what God is looking for. Don't have a stingy heart. The way you handle matters like this triggers God. You're God's blessing in everything you do, all your work and ventures. Deuteronomy 15, verse 10 from the Message. God promises that when you give to Him, He will meet your needs through His provision of supply. The Apostle Paul said, in every state I'm in, I've learned to be content, because he understood that my God shall supply all of our need according to his riches in glory. And yes, we say that, you know, giving is more than money, and yes, it is. And God's provisions are more than money, and yes, they are. But that scripture is talking about money. God was causing Paul to commend the Philippian church because they always assisted in taking care of his needs. They assisted him financially. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first fruit of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will flow with new wine. Luke 21, 1 through 5, we read here Jesus was with the disciples, and he looked up and he saw the rich people putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. He recognized that she was poor, but she was still giving. She was still at the treasury. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. Why? For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. This poor widow caught Jesus' attention, my God, because she didn't give out of her abundance. And yes, it is. It's easy to give out of an abundance. It becomes hard and challenging. When we're giving out of poverty, when we're giving out of where we're just trying to make ends meet, where we're giving out of less than enough. But God commended her for trusting and having a willing, generous spirit to want to give. And he knew that once she gave, it doesn't say it here, but I believe that the windows of heaven were open unto her, and God provided for every need that she had. God is moved by our faith. Faith moves God. Faith pleases God. And so not only is God looking at how we give to him, he's looking at our heart posture as we give to him and how we give to ourselves and to others. He said, if you give, you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more and running over. Whatever measure you use in giving, large or small, it will be used to measure what is given back to you. I tell you, this scripture right here, it liberated me. It set me free. Amen. And as a result of that, I can honestly say today that certain things are the way they are, because in the beginning of my walk with the Lord, when someone shared with me about tithes and offering and giving, and I was already a giver in the world. Now that I'm in the kingdom and I'm receiving these principles, I put these principles to work. And they are working for me. They're working for me. Amen. And part of, I believe, the reason why the Lord is talking about overflow and the reason why he's talking about rebuilding the altar of giving is because there are many who are in a place of lack and poverty. And God wants you to come out today. He wants you to be delivered from that poverty mentality. It is. It's a mentality. He wants you to come out of fear that you're not going to make it, or that God is not going to provide for you, or that God is not going to take care of you. Somewhere along the line, the mindset had shifted to a place where you begin to feel like if you don't do it, if you don't get it, if you don't have it, that God is not enough. That God is not going to come through for you, and that you have to do it in your own strength. And for whatever reason, you feel like you have to hold on to everything that God gives you. Even when you receive a blessing from the Lord, you don't even like to tell people about it. You don't like to share it. You just keep it for yourself. But God's saying, I'm coming for that today. I'm coming for that today because I want you to have more than enough. I want you to trust that I own a cattle and a thousand hills. I want you to know that I am able to open up the windows of heaven over you and pour out blessing that you will not have room to receive it or to take it in. But I'm looking at your heart today. I'm looking at your mindset of how you view money. I'm looking at how you manage and handle money. Yeah, giving generously is an act of faith that breaks the cycle of poverty and releases one into financial freedom. Giving is a supernatural way to bring an increase to your finances. If you want to initiate God's increase, give. And I know we want to reduce this to, you know, giving of our time and giving of our talents, and God wants us to do that too. But in the body of Christ, we need to be real and talk about the money. Christ talked about money. He used it as examples in relation to the Word of God. He understood that we are to give to Caesar Caesar's, but we are to give to God what belongs to God. And we're supposed to give to God first. So giving is a spiritual matter. It is. We want to reduce it to a natural thing, and we don't want to talk about finances and all of that, but giving is a spiritual thing. It involves you and God, yes. It involves the posture of our heart. Ask God to show you how much to give, where to give. Now, this is beyond the tithe. We already established that. The tithe belongs to God. There's no question about that. There's no negotiation with that. But here, God causes us and allows us to determine and decide how much to give, how much to offer, where to give, when to give, and even if you should give to something or someone. He doesn't ever want you to feel pressure to give. He doesn't ever want you to feel a compulsion or guilt. God wants your attitude about giving to be cheerful. He wants you to actually enjoy giving. 2 Corinthians 9:7, you must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully. Let me ask you this. Do you find yourself irritated by giving or pressured into giving? When someone says it's time to receive the offering, do you get irritated? Or if somebody asks you to give into their ministry or a work of God, do you just shrug it off and think, you know, that's a light thing? Trust me, it's not. It's not. Are you a cheerful giver? Do you pray before you give and say, Lord, what do you want me to give? Or do you already have a set mind, a set amount in your mind, and God's nudging you to do maybe less or more, but you got that set amount in your mind, and that's what you're going to give, and that's it? God's looking at all of that. God wants us to give generously, and the Lord wants us to give cheerfully. Not for the other person, not for him, but for you. This is the way God uses to bless you, not just in the area of finances, and that's the blessing of it, that giving, even though we're talking about finances, it does then change the way you give of yourself, of your time, and of your talent or your gifting, how you serve God. It extends to that. It extends to that. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I thank you, Father, for shifting our minds even on today. I thank you, Father, for just causing us to really examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith concerning our giving, concerning our tithing and our giving. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that through your word, you admonish us, you command us to give, to bring the tithe first, to give to you first, of our first fruits, of our increase. And even as we are obedient to do that, you already said what you would do, and we take you at your word. We trust you, oh God, to do exactly what you said you would do for us, that you would provide all that we need according to your riches and glory. We thank you, Father, that even as we give to others, you said it would be given back, full measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And so, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I come against fear right now, fear of not having enough to survive.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, I pray that you will increase faith in your people. I pray, Father God, that you will cause them, Lord, not to be stingy, not to be greedy, not to hoard the blessings that you are bestowing on your people. I pray, Father God, that they will not see what's in front of them in the natural and think that this is all there is, because you are a supernatural God. You are a miracle-working God. You're able, just as you took the fish and the loaves, to multiply it so that your people have enough, more than enough. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that we're going to search you out, Father. We're going to take your principles and apply them, the principles of sowing and reaping, of tithing and giving, and that we're going to try you. We're going to prove you. We're going to allow you to prove to us that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Father, I thank you for breaking the yoke of poverty in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
Father,
yes,
I thank you, Lord God, for shifting mindsets concerning money. And yes, we already know, Father, that there are those out there that will try to take advantage. There are those that are prostituting the gifts in the body of Christ. We know that they're gullible and vulnerable people who are giving into get-rich-quick schemes. We know there are people who are gambling and taking a chance on the lottery and all of those other things. But, Father, you are going to bring a correctness to that, Lord God. You're going to bring a realignment of it, Father, as we are rebuilding the altar of giving, as we are dismantling the things of the world and the things that the world tells us that we need to do or should do to get that increase that only you can provide. And so, Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for shifting our mindset, because we know that faith is the currency of heaven. Hallelujah. And that as we continue to exercise our faith in you concerning our finances, that you will bring us into that alignment. And for those that are already there, get ready, because God is getting ready to blow your mind. He is going to create streams of income, streams of revenue for you like never before. He's going to cause creative ideas and witty inventions to bring a harvest and a blessing to you like never before. And I even hear the Lord saying this, that those who are being stirred to write and to write about God and write about the Lord and write about spiritual things, that he is going to use that as you're sitting before him and he's downloading unto you what you should include in your writings and in your publication and in your distribution, that he's going to use that as a means to bring an increase into your life. And so, Father, thank you. Thank you for all of the ways that you're going to bless your people, all of the streams that are flowing towards your people, because you want us. You want us to have an abundance. You even said in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that it is you that causes us to obtain wealth. It's you that gives us the wisdom, the revelation, knowledge, and the understanding on how to obtain wealth. But to not forget you, but to remember you in all that we receive, and that you are bringing us into a delightful land. And all nations, all people will recognize that we are blessed. In Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you on today. Praise God. If there is, amen, anyone that would like to respond before we close on this morning, amen. Praise God. Take yourself off mute, amen, and just give God some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Either respond, or if you want to pray, please pray, amen, before we close.
Yeah, hallelujah, good morning. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I bless God for the message this morning. And Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we just continue to honor you and to bless you, Lord, and to glorify you, Lord. We thank you this morning, Lord, for the message that you have given to us through your prophet, your mouthpiece. Hallelujah, Apostle Don, Lord God. We thank you for reminding us of the shifting of our mindsets, God. And we just acknowledge, Father, that the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you this morning that you have given us everything pertaining to godliness and righteousness, Lord. We thank you for the overflow, Lord. Oh, God, for the expansion, being able to help others, Lord. And we pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, that you would give us the spirit to discern, Father, who to give to and when to give, and that we won't give out of emotion, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. We just bless you. We ask you, Father, to show us who to give to in your kingdom. Hallelujah, Lord. And we just thank you for clarifying to us this morning about our sacrifice that it should come from the heart, Lord. And when we sacrifice and when we give, Lord, that you see us and you will bless us. And, Lord, we just honor you. We thank you for this word today, God, and how it's penetrating, Lord, and how it's transforming, how it is changing us, Lord God. And, oh, God, we just remember that your word tells us that when we refresh the souls of others, we ourselves will be refreshed. And we just love you. We honor you. We bless you. And we thank you. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Anyone else on this morning? Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Apostle, I do have a question. if I may.
Yes.
Yes. Were you reading? You said I think I heard you say you were reading from 1 Chronicles chapter 1. Is that correct?
21.
1
Chronicles. Yeah. Oh, no, that's okay.
21.
1 Chronicles chapter 21. Yeah. Amen.
21.
God bless.
Okay. Yes, because I was trying to follow along with you. Okay. I see it now. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Anyone else before we close on this morning? All right. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm excited. Please share your praise reports and testimonies of how the Lord just shows you and gives you that overflow and that increase in the area of finances, creative ideas, witty inventions, just how God just opens up for you, the provisions. I'm really excited to hear about it, and I'm going to share with you some of the things that the Lord has been doing, amen, over here. Praise God in Maryland, amen. Bless the Lord. Well, God bless you on today. Pray that you continue to have a glorious and prosperous day, week, month, year, amen. Just look for God. He's going to blow your mind. He's going to blow your mind. Hallelujah. Yeah. We do give him all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Amen. God bless everyone on today.